You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Poor Mike Scherer. He knew all of this was going to happen. He is a Red Sox fan, and as soon as they traded for Gallo and Rizzo, he saw this weekend coming. If you watched on YouTube on Friday, you enjoyed his suffering. He correctly predicted in the first inning the way the game would go. The exact score, he got 8-3. Billy, what did you think as you watched the Yankees do Yankee things to the Red Sox? That felt like a good old-fashioned weekend out of the past. Boston and the Yankees playing that series, a series that mattered. It felt like, it really did feel like it was the 80s, the 90s. It felt like it's something that's been brewing for decades.
I immediately thought we did the wrong game. We should have done yesterday's game instead of Friday's game. Because Friday's game, while it was making Mike suffer, they were still, you know, they still had a one-game lead. And then they've just, this weekend, they gave it all away. And Stanton, oh, with all the crap that we've talked about Stanton, he had an incredible series. I saw something, and I don't know if it was accurate or not, saying that Giancarlo Stanton
There was an article by Barry Jackson. I don't know if it was accurate or not.
I saw it was Giancarlo Stanton joined, I think, Mickey Mantle as like the only Yankee to have 10 RBIs and three home runs in the series against the Red Sox. But then I saw someone else that said that Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth had done it too, so I'm not entirely sure.
Are you willing to say it, though? Are you willing to begrudgingly hand over your respect? This is a difficult thing. Mm. Are you willing to announce publicly and officially that there's one phrase I'm thinking of. Are you willing to give it to him after this weekend?
He's a whiffer.
Did he earn his pinstripes?
His pinstripes. Oh, wow. There's the thing about earning the pinstripes. I don't know that you can earn pinstripes on the road where your uniform doesn't have pinstripes. You know, it's kind of like, can you give them the pinstripes?
But on the road against the Red Sox, big weekend, big spot, all that.
A bunch of RBI, highest paid player, or was the highest paid player in the sport. That's been largely a bad contract. The Marlins were happy to get out from under. And he has hit, I mean, he was just hitting scorchers all over the place. It's terrifying when he's locked in.
He hit balls to other states this weekend. It was insane how far his home runs were going. You couldn't even see them land. I don't know that they have. Did they land?
You believe that he's easy to pitch. Just keep throwing it on the outside corner in the dirt. Don't ever throw him anything that he can hit far.
Absolutely. That's all you have to do is throw him crap on the outside corner. The thing is that sometimes pitchers miss, which is what seemed to happen yesterday, where it looked like they were set up low and away, and it just caught the heart of the plate, and he demolished that ball. Oh, poor Mike Scherer. I felt bad, especially when we were doing the show with him. And we learned that he has like five or six group texts that are just sending him things saying it's all over. And like doomsday texts anytime anything happened yesterday. I felt a little too comfortable last night and I sent him one after Stanton hit that master home run.
That is, you're taking it too far because his misery runs deep. I want you guys to announce to me all the things in sports that are more fun than burying your friend when he's miserable. Like, it's one of the great joys around here that Mike Brown's team has stunk for 20 years, that Stugatz's Jets are apocalyptically bad. When your friend's teams, I don't know how high on the rankings of things you enjoy in sports are, but you just did to Mike Scherer. You got in there with a smile on your face. He's miserable. He's not here for your humor. No. One of the great comedy writers of our time is not finding that funny at all.
I just said, uh-oh. That's all I said. Very simple, uh-oh. And then I said, why do they pitch to him? Just throw it low and away. Junk. No response. Yeah, he didn't seem to like it. His team, by the way, is not bad. The Red Sox are not bad.
Stanton Stugatz.
Yeah.
Statuesque Giancarlo Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
when he hits the ball hard, hits it harder than anyone in the history of the sport. Were both of those home runs eighth innings and to erase leads? The Grand Slam, were both of those late inning break your heart home runs that went 500 feet?
I believe they were. He had three homers over the weekend. He had 10 RBIs over the weekend. So, I mean, he just had one of those great weekends.
Yesterday's home run was after they already had the lead. They had just taken the lead, but he just put the nail in the coffin in the game. Just destroyed the Reds.
Stugatz claims, do you guys believe him? Stugatz claims that he stayed with that Monday night game all the way, or Sunday night game all the way to the end, and that he told Abby at one point with 37 seconds left, they've left him too much time. Are we believing that Stugatz turned to his wife?
Believe me,
turned to his wife and said with 37 seconds left that he knew. He knew no 37 seconds left and no timeouts. Stugatz after, and this part's important, man. A couple years ago, do you remember how bad Rodgers looked both times against the 49ers? Like, they had no chance. They got crushed when they went out there, and it was like a 12-4 team, and then they met him in the playoffs and had no chance either time.
I want to be clear. What I said is 37 seconds is too much time for that quarterback. And just that quarterback. And my wife said no one else. And I said maybe Mahomes.
I'm still expecting Mahomes to win that Chargers game. I was expecting that. Tell me you didn't think that Hail Mary was going to be completed just because it's the Chiefs. Most surprising thing of the weekend is that they just got slowed when they were down. It's like they got stopped. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Why do they have to punt? They've got Mahomes. I was thinking about this yesterday, Stugatz, because Minnesota's skill guys are crazy good, right?
Really
crazy good. So good that you don't actually need the quarterback to be one of your top three skill guys because your three Dalvin Cook was just running all over the field yesterday.
Well, he wasn't there yesterday. It was a guy that looked like Dalvin
Cook. I'm sorry. My apologies. It wasn't Dalvin Cook. The guy who looked exactly like Dalvin Cook, and I wish I'd been listening with the sound up, and I was thinking about the Chiefs' three guys, Stugatz, and one of them is the quarterback. One of the Chiefs, because when I ask you three best skill position players in the game, who's got them? It's Chiefs, correct? It's Chiefs and hard stop. But who's second? Where it's
funny that you don't include like the Chiefs running back. Edwards-Helaire had 100 yards on the ground, and we don't ever really consider
that was
him.
His first good game of the year.
Yeah, like right. He's not very good. Well, we look at their skill guys. We go to the tight end, wide receiver, and quarterback, and we just totally like the running back there doesn't matter. Damian Williams was an essential player in their Super Bowl win.
To answer your question, I would say the Vikings, when Dalvin Cook is healthy, is in that conversation, for sure. The Vikings are very good. The Vikings are a good football team.
They're 1-2.
I don't care. I mean, look past the record. Yeah, they're good.
They could very easily be 3-0.
So are the Chiefs, by the way.
The Chiefs could be the 3-0 or 0-3. Chiefs could be. This is what's funny about the first three games of the season. The Chiefs could be. Stugatz is officially worried about the Chiefs. Says they're a step slow. Says Mahomes is a step slow. And summons Chris Sims to agree with him.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Vikings. They lost 27-24 to the Bengals. They lost at Arizona 34-33, and they won yesterday against a very good Seahawks team. Vikings are good. Look past the record sometimes, Dan. You got to look past the 1-2, and right. That's what I've done. And the Vikings are top five in my power rankings. How about that?
Seahawks. Are. Seahawks are also 1-2.
No. Yep. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Did you think that was Dalvin Cook? Looks like it. That's a dangerous game.
It is a dangerous game because we've all thought it. We've all watched the Red Zone.
What just happened to me, though? Like, whether you thought it or not, it happened to me. I thought Dalvin Cook, every time I looked up, it was Kirk Cousins throwing a screen pass that was going for 40 yards. And I'm like, and I'm terrible with the numbers. So I'm just like, it was 25. What number is Dalvin Cook?
33. It's a dude with dreads running into the secondary.
It's Alexander Madison is his name, I believe. Yeah.
I don't know. He said C. Martin also.
That does not sound like a running back. Alexander Madison sounds like a butler.
It sounds like a founding father.
Does Alex Madison sound like a running back? No.
A quarterback for Wisconsin.
No.
Yeah.
That I can see.
Somebody put a prop bet in yesterday for Madison to have the most rushing yards in the league yesterday. And it was $500 to win $75,000. And he came 1 yard short of Derrick Henry.
Oh,
Oh,
wow. That hurts.
Oh, no.
That is a fun prop.
No.
That is a super fun prop. Right up until you lose by a yard.
Mike, I don't understand the amount of props that you bet, because I asked you a question yesterday.
It's like 70 yesterday.
You had like six props in the Giants game that I wouldn't make a prop bet on the Giants game just so I don't have to watch Giants-Falcons.
Ooh, that's one of the worst games I've ever seen in my entire life. And it had a game-winning field goal attempt at the end. That was just awful.
But when an easy prop is sitting there, you take the easy prop. Did you go Danny Dimes over rushing yards? What'd you do?
I went Danny Dimes over passing yards, Danny Dimes over touchdown passes, lost that, Danny Dimes over completions, Sterling Shepard anytime touchdown, Evan Ingram anytime touchdown.
Oof. They all got hurt.
You do that in every game?
I do that a lot, yeah. One of my favorite... I think my biggest payday was Jacoby Brissett anytime rushing TD. That was like plus 350. Nice little $50 unit on that one.
Did he get another one other than the one at the end? You got it on fourth down with a juke step at the end? Wow, yeah. what a joyous prop bet victory. But that sounds deeply unhealthy, the way that you're doing this.
Oh, it's super unhealthy. It's not fun, but like I'm so addicted to gambling. But also I just really like the feeling of cashing a huge dog. So my favorite bet to place is first touchdown score of the game. Yeah. This was something that was just usually reserved for Super Bowls.
Yeah. You do it in every game?
I
bet you that's probably a bad mathematical bet.
Oh, it's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible. Yes. Like, in that Falcons game, I had Pitts and Evan Ingram, and Evan Ingram had a touchdown that he would have walked in, but this freak Atlanta Falcon made a crazy good play to stop that from happening. Anyways, I digress. A guy named Zacchaeus scored the first touchdown. That doesn't help anybody.
Bet you wish you had that one, huh?
I did.
Does Zacchaeus scoring that touchdown, does a guy named Zacchaeus scoring that touchdown help anybody? Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Stugatz, I'd like to explain to the audience, because I don't know what the modern reference for this is, because there was a Titan yesterday, Nick Westbrook Akina, that scored and did a knee-knocking dance. It was his first touchdown, and he did, I don't know what that's called. I think of Billy White Shoes Johnson, one of the original celebrations in football where you knock your knees together. I don't know. My father used to call that the funky chicken when I was growing up, but I don't know. It was a very old school celebration, and I appreciated it. I was made happy as they eliminate taunting from the game, that a guy could just be in the end zone, that a Titan could score a touchdown and be in the end zone knocking his knees together. But I don't have anything more modern for you than my father calling it the funky chicken. I don't know how to explain it to the audience.
Was it like something out of Happy Days, like out of the 50s? Like,
I mean, Happy Days is 70s, 50s. Billy White Shoes Johnson was one of, I don't want to do old school celebration guy.
Wasn't Happy Days a period sitcom? It was like in the 70s, but it was about the 50s.
Yes.
Very confusing for my timeline.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Because it all looked old to me watching it on TV Land and Nick and Knight, but I was very confused. I think I was like 18 years old when I found out, no, it was actually in the 70s, and they were just doing it like in the past.
How mad were you, Mike, early in the game? I saw that Justin Fields was quoted saying simply, "I'm not used to this," because he was sacked 9 times and Myles Garrett is an unholy menace.
Oh, Mr. Big Shot, the speed. Oh, it's not that much faster up here. In fact, it's slower during the preseason. Mr. Big Shot gets in the game and now he doesn't know what to do with it? Please.
Wow. Mr. Big Shot.
You know, he was Joe Cool during the preseason. The game is actually slower up here. I thought it'd be faster. Then he got a taste of the regular season, a real game against a real team, and suddenly it was moving faster than it's ever moved before.
Myles Garrett had 3 chase down sacks, I believe, on Justin Fields. Justin Fields, I don't know if you guys caught this, is very fast.
It's startling to see Myles Garrett be a better athlete than Justin Fields.
Yeah, and what was startling is to see... That's one of the worst coaching jobs in a single game I have ever seen in my entire life from Matt Nagy. Trash. And I'm happy that people like Dan Orlovsky are taking to the airwaves right now and saying that it's a fireable offense.
People were saying that yesterday, that it shouldn't be surprising if he's fired today.
Never doubled Myles Garrett. Never so much as slotted a tight end over. never in max protect, only started moving the pocket until late in that game when it was already well out of hand. Just made the game impossibly difficult on his rookie quarterback. It was egregious, and he should be fired for that game alone.
It almost seemed like he was trying to prove a point. See, I told you he's not ready. You're right. The game plan was awful.
Are you
rolling
out? Kidding me? You think that what? What
Dan, it was bad.
No, just explain to me
it was
what.
So bad.
Okay, but explain to me what.
I knew what I was doing all along. I mean,
how do you not move the pocket with Justin?
You have
Fields?
Him dumping the game, Stugatz. You have him dumping the game to show everyone, to show the Chicago audience. See, I told you he wasn't ready.
Danny had 68 yards of passing.
I want to be clear on what your accusation is.
Okay.
Please make it publicly and explain to me what it is that you're saying.
That is Matt Nagy, who insists that Andy Dalton is the quarterback for this team and has insisted that the entire, you know, offseason, into the preseason, into the regular season. That is him not giving his quarterback a shot. So Matt Nagy, rather than win a football game, could say, see, I told you so.
So we could be talking about him
yet.
As the coach that we're first going to fire. That's the grand strategy. He's even dumber than he looked yesterday, if you believe that that is his plan to show the Chicago audience.
That was puzzling. There was,
weird, man.
There was funny video of the camera catching Nick Foles talking to Andy Dalton. Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP, third string over for the Chicago Bears, just mouthing over. You could easily read his lips. The offense is not working. This offense is not working.
Wait a second. He was sacked 9 times, 67 yards. He threw for a yard. Yeah. 1 yard, Dan.
Yeah, they take the sack yardage away from him. It was horrible.
Lip
you
reading,
have this athlete.
Lip reading is wonderful in sports, is it not? Lip reading? Just being able, because the Wired for Sound is not, that's not something they would ever play.
No, no way. That would never make the Wired for Sound NFL Films edit. They have to cut that out. That was lip reading, brutally honest. And Nick Foles behind the scenes plotting against his head coach. I love it.
But apparently a head coach who's also plotting against his head coach, according to Stugatz.
What was the plan there? When Myles Garrett has like 3 sacks, someone says, hey, we should probably do something about this. At least roll them out to the other side. Never once move in the pocket when you have one of the more athletic quarterbacks in the history of the sport, really. Like that kid is a phenomenal talent, and I don't know what Matt Nagy was trying to prove.
Stugatz, the athletes in this sport, also in that game, I don't know how Mike felt about this, but a couple of times, Baker Mayfield is an exceptional athlete. He just pales a little bit compared to the other people playing that position at the high end right now, just athletically. But twice yesterday on 4th and short, trying to get creative, Baker Mayfield was sort of naked bootlegging and made the mistake of doing it once near Mac. Which you can, it is the athleticism on these fields, Stugatz, yep. Is totally crazy when you're talking about precision here that can make the big plays, obviously, because Cleveland's been a big play offense this year. But when it's, you can always get 3 or 4 yards because everyone's so big and precise, but you've got these freaks of nature like Mac and Myles Garrett running around out there, and they'll chase down even your most athletic quarterback, which, and we talked about this last night, brings us to what I think was the funniest thing from yesterday, even though it's a little sad. And it's very much both. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
It's just Roethlisberger. It's just him running around out there and looking totally incompetent and looking old as the position evolves beyond what he can do as a skyscraper with legs.
It's him and Mac Jones.
Stumbling over, not because someone touched him, but because his inertia is leaning in one direction. And he looks done.
Finished.
Absolutely done. You want to talk about like what's the plan with Matt Nagy? What was the plan with the Steelers? Just bring in new offensive linemen, not necessarily good ones. We'll get him a running back, and there's no succession plan there. He's looked not himself for like 4 years.
He tried to take care of his body, though, this one off season. He's like, he saw what Tom Brady did for 20 years. And he's like, do you think I could do that for 3 months?
He, what did he do? What did he do to take care of
his body? He stopped going to the fridge to get a can of beer is what he did.
But he's been doing that for 19 off seasons.
I know, but he tried to correct it. He's like, you know what? I got it here the last 3 months. You know what? I'm just going to do a six pack every night. Just one six pack.
Dial it back.
You watch. I hear all this TB12 crud and all this fascial stretching. Nah, I'm just going to put down a couple of beers and I'm going to run out there and I'm going to throw a 4 yard pass into triple coverage.
Najee Harris had 19 targets.
He kept throwing to him.
He checked down. He checked down on fourth and ten with like 2 minutes left in the game. With the two touchdowns.
I felt so bad for him, Harris. It's like, Ben, why are you demanding that you break 11 tackles every time you check down to him?
This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm enjoying his demise, but at a certain point, have some professional pride. This is bad.
What do you want him to do? Just quit?
I think he can help the team right now by making it easier for them. He was kind of like Brett Favre in like will he or won't he for the last few years, and the answer was he always will because look at that contract. He tried to restructure it some, but what is the answer there?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Le Batard.
Well, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
phone. Are you going to say anything?
Stugatz.
How familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca? Like how your upbringing, how had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Don Le Batard show with the Stugatz.
It's interesting to me how Tom Brady has changed all of this, Stugatz, because that's how quarterbacks age. And everyone was pretty much ready, were they not, to pounce on Aaron Rodgers as if it would go from MVP to what they looked like in the first game? And I don't know if you're watching the Saints at all, but Jameis had another one of these. Jameis had a four-yard pass thrown into triple coverage. Mm-hmm. A four-yard pass.
Right.
And he had a touchdown, a loopy touchdown, where he's running around in circles pirouetting and then just farts the ball, a punt up in the air, and gets a touchdown.
You saw him? He got, like, yelled at. He came to the sideline after a touchdown, and Peyton's just giving him a look like, no.
Don't do that again. But still, he had two touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he did. Give him credit. They're 2-1, Dan.
If you watch that game, that was getting real nervy for the Saints, and they started turning to Taysom Hill, who actually put together a real nice drive for them.
Scott, you're so boring with just looking at the standings after three games and making all of your assessments.
I'm telling you, I have the Vikings. Who is saying today the Vikings are top five in their power rankings?
Nobody is.
At 1-2.
You're right.
Thank you.
You're right. Thank you. Okay, very good, Stugatz. Plant your flag there. Go ahead. Who else is saying that, America? Any of you? Do any of you have the 1-2 Vikings top five in your power rankings?
What a lame thing to say.
Are you watching? Or is football just something that just kind of happens while you're just making your way through your home?
To be fair to him, I did watch, and I thought it was Dalvin Cook. Yeah. So.
Mike, I am watching the games. I'm depressed watching the games because I'm watching the Jets, which is just, listen, don't get me started. But the Green Bay Packers, and I'm glad I didn't finish my thoughts on this, 37 seconds to go. And I don't understand for the life of me, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers and a coach that everyone thinks is a genius. The Packers have no timeouts. You have three timeouts. You know that Aaron Rodgers can get you in field goal range in 37 seconds. You know you don't have to score on that play. Why not a running play? Take some time off the clock. Get it down to 20. Then you have second and goal, and then run your three plays, score your touchdown. The game is over. Why not? Why do coaches refuse to do this?
You're not expecting Aaron Rodgers with no timeouts to go 25 to Adams, 17 to Adams, spike.
Like, then you're bad at your job.
How can you not expect that? Even Collinsworth was saying last night, I can't believe I'm saying this, but 37 seconds might be too much. And it was, Dan. And what he did with such precision is went right down the field and never sweated it. It was a nice pass to Davante Adams. It was another nice pass to Davante Adams. Adams did what most receivers don't, went right down to the ground. Rodgers casually strolled up. He spiked the ball. Mason Crosby comes in and finishes the game because that's what Mason Crosby does. It was easy.
You know what Aaron Rodgers did the last 2 weeks, two guys?
What?
He proved us right about that first week.
Yes.
Everybody says, oh, Aaron Rodgers, look at what he did. He clearly wasn't tanking. He clearly was. Mm-hmm. He clearly was for that game. There's no way you lose 38-3 to Jameis Winston, and then you come back and you have these performances, and all of a sudden you remembered how to play football.
Right. You know what you don't do? You don't oversell the tank. It's a long play, right? So you have to have moments where you can always point back and say, I wasn't tanking. I don't care what you say. You want to accuse me of tanking? I wasn't tanking. And now we can point to the San Francisco game. I expect Aaron to have the worst game of his career next week.
Wait a minute. What are you guys doing?
We're not on the same page, two guys.
What are you doing? What is your strategy today? I want to understand. Please, Billy, I'll get back to you in a second.
Oh, he's still tanking.
Really?
So game one and game four.
Well, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it. Throws people off the scent, Dan, because right now you're like, impossible. Why would you do it that way?
Right.
It does make it genius. I happen to think that he was just trying to have a statement game that first game, and now he's proving his worth. But I might be able to buy into Stugatz' idea of, you know what? No, the tank is still on. Because what he's done is he's thrown me off the scent now as well. And I thought, you know what? Clearly that first game was on purpose. We can all agree on that. Dan, you agree with that. We all agree that that first game was on purpose, right? Now I'm starting to think.
I do not agree.
He just
forgot
how to play football. The Monstars came to Earth and took his football abilities.
I mean, stay with me here, Dan. You can't oversell the
tank. I don't want to start with you. Never mind. Stay with you. But I will not allow the idea that the MVP is actively throwing games.
But be week one bad, and then have two monster games: one at home, one on the road in a big spot, nationally televised, and then you come back the next week. And you lose to Ben Roethlisberger at home. I mean, that's how you do it, Dan.
Do a solid for Big Ben. There's questions about him right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that fraternity of the quarterbacks. I could see it. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for your contributions to this Football Monday, accusing the MVP of the league of actively tanking games so that you can be right about tanking games. What I don't understand your strategy of the way to do it is throw away game number one and game number four and play great in games two and three.
Well, because, you have to show people you still have. Because Dan, he's not done with football. He's just done with the Packers. He needs his next team to know that he still has some value.
Right.
By the way, the worst part about Big Ben, he was tripping over yard lines yesterday. What was happening there?
He's just old. That's the way it's supposed to look. Tom Brady's changed all of it.
Maybe it's not supposed to look like that either, Dan. Like, this is...
Is he tanking, maybe?
This is going to be the new Willie Mays stumbling out of the batter's box to me.
It's game three. It's game... It's
tripping
game,
over yard markers.
It's game
they're only a game out. I mean, one might say they're in the mix.
What a confusing week one result that was.
Your Monday analysis is somehow getting worse by the syllable.
Listen to me, okay? If you're Aaron Rodgers, you can't go 0-3. Then that's overselling the tank. Then everyone knows you're tanking.
Please get out of this quicksand. Please get out of it.
You don't have to follow every ridiculous take you have to the bitter end. You really don't have to.
Just take it. Take it back. What do you mean I'll see? What is it? What are you predicting? Explain to me what you're predicting. What will I see? A tank against Ben Roethlisberger.
You'll know it when you see it, Dan. And if you don't, I'll be there to tell you.
But you know it when you see it, even though we don't believe you watched the game last night. And you're saying you turned to your wife. No way she was up at 11 o'clock at night watching a game with you. You turned to your wife. They've left him too much time. I don't believe you.
I just gave you the full play-by-play. And before that, I wrote this down. I was thinking about it because the Niners were driving down. This is crazy how the game has gotten so great from an offensive standpoint. where the Packers are down six, the Niners are driving down with Jimmy Garoppolo. Collinsworth says, hey, here it is, Jimmy G, your chance. You got Aaron Rodgers at home, nationally televised game, go beat him. And he did, but I was thinking to myself, if you're the Packers, would you rather be on offense down six or on defense up six? I think I'd rather be on offense down six so Aaron can do what he does when he's trying and not tanking.
100%.
Yes.
When he's trying and not tanking. Moving to an 0-3 team because the Carson Wentz, speaking of done or feeling like it's done, under 200 yards, 0-3, body breaking apart. Like, football has been cruel. I feel like he is made out of cans of oil at this point. He's a young man. Carson Wentz.
I know.
Football is like, it's like he's put his body and all of his bones in a meat grinder for three seasons and is now covered in like this rust. This is a young person.
He's gotta be like 25.
This person was drafted recently. And he's the Colts' hope, and he throws for under 200 yards. And now Jim Irsay is saying, I can't trust him because he's brittle and he's not vaccinated. And I'm having a hard time, Stugatz, even as I am an ally on, of course, everyone get vaccinated. People like Irsay in football being able to continually grab and at the bodies and tell them what to do. Like, I'm conflicted there legitimately. I don't want to hear from Irsay that he doesn't trust Wentz because he's not vaccinated and putting all the pressure of, hey, your career's at risk right now at 0-3. You better put this in your body and I don't trust you. And I'm putting my name on that as the owner of the team. And already it looks like it's failed there. Like, it feels like Carson Wentz, that Philadelphia got rid of him. And it's like, oh my God, even if that stays upright, and I don't think it's going to stay upright, it's going to give me 200 yards in a game I need.
This is going to be the first and last ever in-season Hard Knocks. There's a reason why we only do it during training camp when all the vibes are good. There's nothing but hope in the air. And then you realize Herm Edwards, Chiefs, headed up by Brody Croyle, ended up having a terrible season, and thank God we did that during the preseason, right?
What a terrible sentence that was right there. Herm Edwards, Chiefs led by Brody Croyle.
Yeah,
those Chiefs were 2-23 at the end of Herm Edwards.
They won too.
That was one of my favorite seasons of Hard Knocks ever. Now imagine if that happened during the season. You wouldn't have had any of the same exact vibes. This is going to be must-watch television because Carson Wentz is quickly becoming a spectacle in this sport. The revelation that he didn't just sprain one ankle, but both ankles on that terrible throw that he attempted late in that game made me do a 180 on this guy. And now I'm tuning in for the Carson Wentz experience. I don't ever want him to figure it out. I want him to have the occasional good game so he can stay out there and just do more of this crazy stuff, because there has to be an image somewhere at that team facility with Carson Wentz walking around with two walking boots. And I need that. And if Hard Knocks is a place where I go to get it, you bet your ass I'm hitting double R on that record button.
Why
for
is
a season
it?
Pass.
Can you guys explain to me what it is that I'm doing? Because I think the rest of you are doing it as well. I told you last week, we talked about his arm ending up in the stands and like sprockets being all over the field when he gets tackled. But now I also have, when he gets sacked, I expect like to leak out like just a can of ham. Just something, yeah. just things breaking, like a garbage truck just spilling stuff.
You know that scene in
metallic
Forrest,
stuff.
You know that scene in Forrest Gump where the Run Forrest Run scene where his braces just start exploding off of his legs.
That's what you're waiting for.
That's what I want. I think I'm gonna get it real soon. But it might happen this week in Miami.
But it's a physical game for everybody. Why do I worry about Carson Wentz coming down to the humidity and trying to sort of grind his way through a meat grinder with his right shoulder?
The humidity might actually help him a little bit.
Right.
We'll see. Yeah, it might lubricate the joints, or it might be too much moisture and he'll get even more rusty. Who knows? But I'm going to be there for every snap of it.
But what is it? What I'm trying to ask you guys is, there's something. Look at what's happening at the position, okay? On one end, you've got Ben Roethlisberger, you know, skyscraper with legs, trying to run around in the pocket, done, old. All over the rest of the league, you have guys who are super athletic, and I mean, the Arizona Cardinals. It's just ridiculous to watch them because it's so much fun to watch a guy just do loops around there and make it feel like a college game because he's just more athletic than everyone else. So in that league, here comes this guy trying to will his way through the violence. It's like, I look like I'm playing in walking boots when I run. I'm always going to dive head first with my shoulder because it's the least wise thing you could possibly do.
He's trying so hard.
So hard! And it needs to be less hard. Like Herbert's back
there. It
can't
be at this point.
Herbert's back there and he's just slinging it all over the field. And he's like, this is good. This is fun. I'm just lubricated.
Yeah, perpetually surrounded by Beyonce's fans, Justin Herbert, blowing his hair in the wind.
I mean, everything's a grind for
Wentz. It's beautiful.
Everything is hard. Everything is hard for Carson Wentz.
Walking into the arena, right?
Oh, difficult.
In the walking boots.
Very difficult. Yeah.
And but it's
walking boots.
But if you try to will your way through this, you're going to be out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah.
With body parts in the stands.
I love it. It's a star streaking across the sky. Him and Robert Griffin III are the two guys that I have never seen people have the superhuman ability to just get hit so hard. And him and Robert Griffin III are the only two quarterbacks that come to the mind that just get leveled every time they get hit.
Is he unlike anyone in the sport? Because I'm not thinking of even Roethlisberger, Stugat.
Right.
Even Roethlisberger.
Well, Ben's made it through for the most part pretty healthy.
People used to bounce off of him, though.
Exactly.
Yes, no one is bouncing off Carson Wentz.
No.
They're going through Carson Wentz.
They're hitting him harder.
They're shattering Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is an uncommonly large human being. And he's decided to play the sport in a way that has me doing the analysis that worries for him, Stugat. Even as they change all the rules to protect the quarterbacks. Tom Brady's running around out there at 40. He scrambled yesterday.
I know.
Being 6'5" and appearing brittle to the eye, that's not easy
to do.
How is
it possible that Carson Wentz already looks older than Tom Brady? And that I worry more about his body? Like, how
6'5", 240. He's 28 years old.
20 years younger than Tom Brady. And I'm not doing this for any other quarterback. Who else are you doing this with where you're like, it's the running back that's supposed to be disposable because he uses up his body.
Are you doing it with Tua when he plays?
Tua has an ability to just, oh, please don't hit him type of thing. I do kind of. There is a God tier, though, and it's Carson Wentz and Robert Griffin III.
But you're saying, please hit him. You're saying with Tua, don't hit him.
With
you're
Tua,
saying,
you're like, oh, because remember, I love him like my own son. Don't hit him because if you hit him, something bad's going to happen. Right. And now I kind of feel the same way, but it's like the way that I watch a demolition derby or a NASCAR race. I'm just watching for the bad thing to happen. I don't want anybody to die, but I want like a near-death experience.
You want the collisions? See, I think Dan is headed to this spot. Like, I kind of feel bad for Carson Wentz. He's out there grinding out.
You guys know this happens to me all the time. I felt bad for any number of people yesterday. I don't know who I'd choose. In one game, I couldn't decide whether I felt worse for Hollywood Brown or Man Campbell. I couldn't decide who I felt worse for. Because I'm sitting there watching, and
didn't feel bad for Dan Campbell.
I did not feel.
You're enjoying every minute of
this. No, I did. Come on,
that's a tough you coach.
That's a terrible way to lose. Come on, he didn't deserve to lose that game. Stu Gatz has the worst team in football. Easily. The Lions are not the worst team in football.
Yeah, the Jets are worse.
The Lions should have beaten the Ravens yesterday, and they get beat by the longest field goal ever. That mafioso Justin Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
66 yards, and in the most how can it be more heartbreaking than that?
It can't be.
Then hitting the crossbar and bouncing up, and you're just not sure what the hell happened, and then the Ravens are celebrating on your field after it was just 4th and 19.
I mean, it could be more heartbreaking. As we covered in the post-game show yesterday on our YouTube, make sure to search YouTube, Lebatard and Friends. It should have been a field goal attempted from at least 5 yards further away.
Because it was a delay of game.
2.5 seconds, not just like... Occasionally, you'll be at your house and you'll point to the play clock winding down and your finger's there for like what feels like an eternity, but it's only a second. This was 2.5 seconds. This was long enough for Greg Gumbel to realize what had happened.
Stugatz, when I tell you I felt bad for Hollywood Brown, this was interesting, and I wonder how often this happens to you because it still catches me off guard every time that it happens. Hollywood Brown has only been in the league for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He is extraordinarily fast. And in that sport, you're seeing what's happening with the wide receivers and their bodies and how, you know, you've seen just with Lamar Jackson, you see his body just totally change while you're watching the sport because yes. These are machines made out of granite that are just finely tuned things. He took off his helmet after three drops. And I was surprised by my reaction, which was, he's a child. That dude is a child. Mm-hmm. Just his face, right? Like right. That. He's got a muscled body and everything else, but they showed his face and him feeling bad because that, I mean, just three catches that would have been, one of them's not even fair because it got tipped in the end zone. It looked like he dropped it, but he didn't. But the other two were just,
he had two really big bad
plays
drops,
are yeah. So hard to get in that game. And you rarely see, that felt like one of those things when it happens twice in a game. You're like, oh, that's inside his head somewhere. That's that one's going to be difficult to shake off.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you though sometimes when you see? Because I imagine with your quarterback, the Jets quarterback, there's not a younger looking person in the entire league than the Jets quarterback, is there?
No. I would say the most jarring for me outside of Zach Wilson in terms of when he takes his helmet off, and my daughter reminds me on a weekly basis, Dad, at least your quarterback's hot. Like, that's it. That's what she says every single week.
He looks like a boy band member.
It feels creepy to even say he looks hot because he seems like he's 16 years old.
He's hot.
I mean, the other guy that's is jarring is when Kyler Murray takes his helmet off. He looks like he's 17.
Yeah.
He really does.
Well, when he's actually playing with a helmet and just running around there, he looks like a child prodigy. But at least that one you can get it because of the height. I also, too, felt immediately bad for Hollywood Brown once he took his helmet off because I'm like, oh, you're just a boy.
That happened to me. The first time that happened to me was when I was watching Sean Taylor after Sean Taylor died because he played with such menace and because these bodies are so armored and you think of them as men. And Stukats, I was thinking about this yesterday because we love this thing that we're watching on Sunday, but there were a handful of times that dudes were going over the middle and there was just a great deal of violence at the goal line. And I had the reaction because these people are sculpted specimens and behemoths. I had the reaction of like, oh my God, all that's terrifying. Like all that in the middle must hurt a great deal. one side trying desperately to get to that goal line. You saw what Trent Williams did at the end of the half.
That was wild.
That you've got a pulling guard who's just faster than any human has any right to be at 350 pounds. And he lined up a defensive back and he hit him at the goal line and the guy went flying 7 yards and it looked like in the movies when they pull Keanu Reeves with like one of those ropes that make him go backward. You're like that the moment of impact there, because this is one of the few sports where you're even allowed to have these weight differentials. We usually have weight classes for these people, any of the violent sports.
Do you spend your Sundays feeling bad for people and being concerned?
What a horrible way to watch football. I enjoyed the hell out of what we were watching yesterday because it has gotten to a very high level on the skill set because they've opened up the rules for the offenses and they've made it so hard on these defenses. And yet still, Stugatz, you're watching these cornerbacks run step for step with this Waller Frankenstein.
I can't possibly fathom being a linebacker that sheds the block from like a Taylor Lewan, right? And they've gotten through that part of the field. And then they have to wrap up and tackle Derrick Henry.
It's the worst.
After doing that.
It's the worst. I got past this guy, and this is what's waiting for me when I get there.
But it's just a tenderizer for Derrick Henry. He doesn't need a tenderizer. He's perfectly fine handling you one-on-one. But someone softens you up before you meet Derrick Henry at the line.
How is that still happening? Carson Wentz.
And he can turn the corner on you and just run away from you.
But how is Carson Wentz? How is Carson Wentz's body breaking when he's not doing those things?
He's trying, though.
Man, like Frank Wright, I really hope that the Hard Knocks cameras just take it into inventory of there's Julio Jones. A.J. Brown just hurt his hamstring. But you have these physiques on that Titans sideline. And then you have Carson Wentz and Rodrigo Blankenship. How is that even close?
The glasses
game
on Rodrigo, and his name is Rodrigo.
I love that guy.
Perfect. Yeah, it's great. So good. It really is.
How was that game close?
I'm blanking. I'm division opponent. I don't know.
Well, the Titans were -3 on turnovers is how that game was.
Yeah, that would explain it.
Tannehill kept them in the game.
I don't know if I got this right. Whether it was the Titans haven't won a game -3 since 2007 or the league hasn't won a game -3 on turnovers since 2007, because it doesn't feel like a game that you can very often win, especially now. The way they're playing now, Stugatz, like everybody is so damn careful with the football that every time there's a fumble, I'm surprised by it. I'm legitimately surprised any time the football squirts loose because they've gotten so good about protecting it.
Mahomes, 2 interceptions. You're surprised by that, right?
I'm surprised. These guys, I know I keep saying it, but because the offenses have opened up, Stugatz, and you've got so many of these 6'5", 6'6", guys playing receiver that can't be covered, and now the tight ends are all basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you cover something 5 yards down the field. I don't know. And they're penalizing you all the time, 15 yards these or larger on these pass interference calls where the Dolphins get back into the game. Brady does this one all the time. He just throws the ball downfield and hopes that something bad happens on defense. And if it's Mike Evans running down the field, you got to do something,
right?
Because he's bigger than everyone he's playing against.
Rodgers did that a few times last night where he's just like, heck, I got nothing here. Throw it up to Devontae Adams and he made a play. I mean, I think that comes with experience, right? I just got thrown up to my best player. You're right. The offenses have gotten so precise, so great, which really begs the question how Justin Fields threw for a single yard yesterday.
I don't know. I don't know how anyone plays defense these days. I really don't against these top-end offenses.
But with Aaron Rodgers, that's precision and practice, because what Tom Brady's doing against man coverage and just throwing it up to, like, Rob Gronkowski, that's one thing. But if you see those highlights, which is I'm pretty sure all you watch from that game, Stugatz, it's Aaron Rodgers finding Devontae Adams in the one soft spot in the zone. He's dropping it in between four defenders.
He said they drew that play up, him, Matt LaFleur, and Devontae Adams in practice on Friday. That was a play drawn up. He said kind of like tape in the dirt. Yeah, but he had to throw it to his right side, and he threw it exactly where he had to throw it. Aaron did go out of his way to say that LaFleur called the first play, and I called everything else from there. He did after the game. It was all me. He should take a victory lap. He should. After all the criticism he received, you know, people accusing him of tanking and stuff like that.
No, this is what, I mean, what
happened? You're the one that accused him of tanking.
You're the only one. You're the only one.
All right, we're done.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.